Right, if you have your Bibles and if you have a handout, I know we ran out tonight. That's a good problem. When we run out of handouts, I had to step up, and I printed more than I normally do, and we still ran out. So that's a good problem. So if you can look on with someone, if anyone else wants one, we do have a few extra. Husbands and wife can share. So if you didn't get one, just let us know. I know we almost ran out toward the end. Maybe we didn't get through enough. Okay. We're going to continue on the place of honor. Last week, we did the introduction, and I knew it would be too much material to do it in one or two services, so I'm spreading it out, probably a little shorter tonight, maybe a little bit longer next week than I am tonight, but I didn't want to rush through it. And we've been talking about honor for the last several weeks, and tonight, as we mentioned last week, we got to talking about the introduction on the place of honor, and we'll talk about a couple of those things today. And we think of an honor, we think of different things at times. Sometimes the thing that comes to my mind is that the Olympics, when they get those gold medals, the silver medal and the bronze medal, they got the one standing on the highest step, you know, than anyone else getting the gold, and the one the little bit lower, they're on the left side the silver and on the other side the bronze. And they're in that place of honor, of recognition for something that they completed. You know, in the Christian life, you know, we will see our rewards and we will hear that well done, that good and faithful service when we get into heaven. But today and now while we serve, we need to make sure and realize that our place of honor, our place that we need to be, is the place of humility. We talked a little bit about that last time, a place of humility in service. How can I serve others? We shouldn't look to be served, but look for an opportunity we might serve and be a blessing to others. So let's go ahead and read our text and get started tonight. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Lord, bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray you bless our time together. May you be uplifted and glorified. Father, may we encourage one another. As your word says, that iron sharpeneth iron. And Father, help us always to be the point of being a blessing, source of encouragement, and opportunity, Lord, we will always seek to serve. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was always taught growing up in a family of farmers who grew up on the farm that we were always ready to serve, to work, and to do whatever. My folks were always there growing up at church, volunteering, being involved, helping out. Dad always volunteered his time. He did HVAC work, and he would never charge the church for any labor, and he would only charge for whatever the part was, and sometimes he wouldn't even charge that. But he just said, that's my place of duty, my place of humility, my place of opportunity to serve someone else. And so the best way to the top is starting, of course, and just being at the bottom. So number one, the place of honor begins at the bottom, not the top. Begins at the bottom, not the top. And we live in a society today, even more so than when I was coming up, that everyone wants the right away, automatic, microwave answer. They want to graduate high school and go out and get that $100,000 a year job. They want to go to college and get a degree in underwater basket weaving and expect to make $200,000. I mean, I don't know sometimes what people are thinking. They went right away, they want to start at the top. And the best way is that we said here, and we'll look at a few scriptures here, is a place of honor begin at the bottom, not at the top. And even as we read about our Savior, he was always serving others, washing the disciples' feet, healing the sick, you know, casting out demons. He was always looking to serve, feeding the multitude. It was always in a sense of honor. He was recognized and called rabbi, of course, teacher, but he always was looking at himself as being a servant. The Son of God, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 14, and you have that there in your handout, verse 10 and 11. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he hath obey thee to come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up hither, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit and meet with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Again, Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, he that hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Proverbs 25 verse 6 and 7, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that he be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have shown. See, this is is not a artificial humility that just simply puts it on when maybe someone's looking or when the occasion arrives. You know, it is airless, it is worthless, it is perceived maybe as looking for an advantage to be provided for them. That's not the kind of humility the Lord is looking for, or that aspect. Attempting humility and actual humility are miles and miles apart. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I never went there. I've heard other people talking about it, other people giving the illustration. There's an elderly gentleman around the camp every year during the summer. Every year. And some of the kids never knew who it was, but there's an elderly gentleman out there walking around the camp with a pair of slacks and a t-shirt, a whistle around his neck, and a stick and a bag, going around picking up trash. That's all he did all day long there at the summer in the camp, for hours at a time, and he would get away and he'd go back into town. He would spend a lot of his summers, several days a week, out at the camp picking up trash. Well, many of those campers never realized who he was until they were teenagers. He was the pastor. A pastor of a church, a mega church at that time of 4,000 or 5,000 people. With a Bible college, a bus ministry, a thriving Christian school from kindergarten through high school. But he knew the place of humility. He knew that place of honor begins at the bottom and not at the top. He wasn't doing it for recognition. It was something that needed to be done, and he can be around and see the ministry and things that were going on. I've met other people through the years of my ministry, and I've heard missionaries. I meant to look it up, and I forgot. But I've read missionary autobiographies and biographies of missionaries gone by, and so many examples of many of those who've done such great things for the Lord, and God used them greatly, that so often many people didn't even know who they were. I mean, we know some missionaries that served for 7 years. I believe 7 years before the first soul was saved. Many people looked at him as a failure, but he just kept plodding along. Plodding along, wasn't looking for recognition, wasn't throwing out the big numbers, wasn't asking for the big offerings. He's just serving, serving, serving. And then one day the Lord just opened the floodgates after that one had trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Again, attempting humility and actual humility are miles apart. John the Baptist was a powerful man, yet he understood who he was and who Jesus was. He was known, he was feared. He was recognized by the way he dressed and his booming voice, but still he recognized who he was in comparison to Christ. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. Can you imagine people suspecting you as being the Christ? Could you see how quickly that with some people it could go to their head? But not John. Not John. He was a class act. Notice we go a little further. John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the lashes of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Dear friends, to attempt to put on humility is most likely the nearest thing to pride that we can ever display. Again, that's starting at the bottom, looking for an opportunity to serve. How can I help? How can I be assistance? How can I make a difference? Sometimes the littlest things of just opening the door for a stranger, asking if somebody needs a little help or a little encouragement, finding out how you can serve in your local church, in your community, taking an opportunity to point someone somehow, in some way, back to Christ. The humble brag comes to mind. If you humble brag, our dictionary says, you say something or write something on social media that appears to be modest or critical of yourself, but is actually a way of boasting about your own success. Previously, we spoke of honoring God in hard times, even in our affliction. Now, we go back to this aspect of the humble brag. I tell you what, I might be behind the times. I might be what I used to call some other people. I might be the old fogey these days. I don't know. I don't do social networking. I have a smartphone that does just as well as a paperweight as it does anything. I can text. I can FaceTime with my kids and my grandkids. I can send text messages. I can make phone call. In fact, the last two smartphones that I've owned was purchased and given to me by my kids. I just don't do the social networking. I'm concerned because sometimes in the heat of the moment, I just might say what I'm thinking. In fact, I might just type it out, what I'm thinking. I can get myself in trouble. I'm just being honest, and especially in some political areas. mean, I get myself in enough trouble sometimes on Sunday morning here. But it is what it is. And it's out there. But people in the aspect, they just throw everything out there. It's like they grab a pot of spaghetti and throw it against the wall and see what sticks. They just throw some things out there looking for attention. And again, that aspect of humility. Sometimes we also, in that aspect, have to look past. You ever see someone out in public and you thought to themselves, boy, they must be starving for attention. See it all the time. Maybe the Lord wants us to give it to them. Maybe the Lord wants us to say hello, ask them how they're doing, develop a friendship. And let me help you out real quick. When those opportunities arise, we have to do it with prayer, and we have to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's not always the best thing to do is walk right up and say, if you die today, you know you go to heaven. That's not always the best approach, but when the time is right and you present the gospel, sometimes it's just being a friend. Sometimes it's just inviting them to church. I've talked to people in this community, other communities, have met them in public and talked to them several times. They know my name. I know their name. I talk to them. And I may wait for days or weeks or months before eventually one day inviting them to church and giving them a track. It may be later when they walk in the door, they realize I'm the pastor. I want them to see me as just like everybody else. I might have the responsibility of being the shepherd, but I still put on my pants like everybody else, one leg at a time. I wake up every morning, get out of bed like everyone else. But again, it's that aspect of humility and approaching people where they're at, meeting them where they are, and not thinking of ourselves as being something a little more. See, as often through these hard times, as I spoke about last week, about even suffering affliction through this aspect of learning humility, that God does a work of breaking us down and placing us in the furnace of affliction so that he may begin to prepare us for the place of honor. We may desire, we may want to practice humility, we want to be humble. And I mean, after all, I mean, who doesn't want to be humble? I mean, when you're perfect in every way, how does the old song go? It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to get up in the morning because I get better looking each day. Some of y'all may remember that old ditty from back in the 80s. You know, that's not exactly the way that we're supposed to approach life. It's not the way that we express and let Christ shine in us or to shine through us. You know, and so we may go through some affliction. We may go through some hard times. We might get our bubble burst. But at times you may wonder why God appears to be continually against you. Or why is God continually allowing me to go through some difficulties? You find no success in all your ventures, and maybe we have to ask ourselves a few difficult questions. First one would be, could it be that you remain unbroken? That you remain unbroken in God's attempts to humble you? I mean, after all, there's some things that just need to be broke down before they can be used in the right way. After all, that box is sitting in a corner, and I've got one sitting in my living room corner that won't put itself together. The box has to be cracked open. And sometimes God's got to work on us, crack us open, break us down a little bit before he can use us in the way that he wants to use us. Could it be that God's plan to exalt you is intercepted by your desire to exalt yourself? Hey, we all want to be recognized. Who doesn't for our good achievements? But what is our motive behind that? Again, could it be that you remain unbroken in God's attempts to humble you? Could it be that God's plan to exalt you is intercepted by your desire to exalt yourself? Look at me. Everybody, hey, look at me. That's not what God's looking for. That's not what God can use anyone. God could use anything. But I believe sometimes God uses the best, those that are lowly, those that are ready, present themselves. Lord, I may not be much, but however you desire to use me, Lord, would you use me? Again, I've said this a few times, I need to move on. I am not a public speaker. I get nervous every time I get up here to do it. When God called me to preach, I ran. I was scared to death. I remember the first time that I had to give a speech in junior high. I was scared to death. The only thing to save me is our teacher said, well, if you at least stand there for the full allotted time, you'll pass. And I had to pass to stay on the ball team. If I wanted to keep playing ball, I had to pass. All we had to do, and this seems to me, it's nothing now, but all we had to do is we had to talk for 6 minutes. Sometimes I think, well, 6 minutes is not that long. Surely I can do that. In fact, it might have been 3 minutes. I can't remember. Let's just go evangelistically speaking. It was six. Some of y'all get that in a minute. And I went over my notes. I read in the mirror. I practiced. I had my mom time me. I wanted to make sure that I was ready to go. I got up there, and it was my day to give my speech. It was on the railroad, and I got up there, and Brother Disbro, I was done in 3 minutes. I mean, I speed memorized through that. I mean, I just wanted to get it over. And the only thing that saved me is when I got up, I actually looked at the clock and looked at that tick when he said start, and I knew where my time was. I got through with those 3 minutes. I looked at the clock and I thought, oh, I got three more minutes. I put my hands on the podium like this, and I looked at the clock for three long, grueling, sweat-bound minutes. I could feel the beads running down my back. I stayed there for the three extra minutes that was left. And as soon as that tick hit six, I stepped out and I thought, maybe I was wrong. I stepped back for two or three more seconds. And I went and sat down. I passed. I stayed up the whole 6 minutes. Would you believe there was others that gave better reports but sat down in less than 6 minutes? They didn't pay attention to the time. Scared to death. First sermon I ever preached. 6 pages of legal sheets. You've heard that story as well. I was done in a matter of 5 or 6 minutes. Boy, I tell you what. You want to be humbled? Study and stand up in front of a class and teach. Especially a subject that you might not be familiar with. Sometimes God just needs to get us to a point to break us, to intercept our thoughts, our action, that he might, in his time, to honor us. The place of honor begins at the bottom, not at the top. Allow yourself to work at the bottom, that place of entry, and allow the Lord to elevate you in due time and in due season. Let yourself be instructed, broken and rebuilt by the only one that can grant true honor. Let me say that again. Let yourself be instructed. Let yourself be taught, broken and rebuilt by the only one that can grant true honor. See, if the Lord has to break you down, I promise you this, he's going to build you back up. If you'll allow him, if you'll let him, he will build you back up to the place that you need to be. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Humility comes first. The place of honor begins at the bottom, not at the top. Number two is really short. I'm almost done. The place of honor begins with service. That doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. If you're going to start at the bottom, not at the top, realizing I'm going in at entry level. In fact, I'm going in below entry level into the basement. I'm going in at the bottom, not at the top, and the place of honor begins with service. Do we look for an opportunity to serve? Man, we are so blessed here at our church. So many churches like Harvest here as well. Years gone by, going through this situation with COVID and all the went place, churches that folded, churches that went down, churches that didn't get back quick enough and lost a few families, and other churches that grew and blew up because they started services right away. All different churches went through different situations and different trials. But with the group that we have now and the new families come in, it's one thing that I greatly appreciate it. Even though many have said, you know, I moved to Arizona to retire, or I've grown up here and I've retired, I like the aspect of many have the attitude is, but I have not retired from serving the Lord. Now, we may have retired from that job and punching that clock, as Brother Ed said in Sunday school, when we talked about a little bit about the Garden of Eden, how wonderful it was. Brother Ed said, one of the good things about the Garden of Eden, we didn't punch no clock for 40 hours a week. Or Adam and Eve didn't. But things have changed. But today, as we think about the aspect of service, we may not be able, we may not have the money, we may not have the things that we used to because we're not working, our home is paid for, cars are paid for, the income's not quite what it was, but we have a comfortable life and we're serving the Lord. And that's what I hope that last part is, and we're serving the Lord. Younger generation need to see and understand that it takes all age brackets in a church to reach the multitudes that live in our community. It takes every person, every child, every young person, every young family, every middle-aged family, every older family. And now that I've turned 60 today, I've stepped into the older families, I guess. I don't know. But here's one thing I've noticed. I don't feel any more or less excited about serving the Lord. I'm just as excited. I don't feel, someone asked me, well, preacher, you feel any different? And I said, I don't feel any different than I did a minute ago or yesterday. I'm glad that I have the health and the strength to serve. And we must always keep in mind in this place of honor, the place of honor begins with service. No matter where we're at and what we're doing, what lifespan, what age bracket, wherever we're in life, we can still serve. Now, we might not be able to do as much as we used to, but it does not mean there's not something that we cannot do. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall be humble shall humble himself shall be exalted. Again, who doesn't like to be served? Who doesn't like to be served? Many of us enjoy that, but you know what? There's a time, and I may enjoy the aspect of being my birthday and being asked where I like to go to lunch. What do you want for breakfast? What do you want to do this week? Those are all wonderful, but that's one time a year. The other aspect, other times, I want to make sure that I'm found in many capacities of looking for an opportunity, though shepherd or though a place and an opportunity to serve others. And dear friends, we live in a world today that people look around and see a need and have no problem just stepping over or walking right by it. Look for opportunities to serve, not to be served. The quiet, unnoticed servant is often elevated with a place of honor by the one that we all want to be elevated by. One day, we'll have an opportunity to see our Savior, whether it's in death or whether it's to trumpet sounding. But I desire and hope to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Again, how does that end? Servant. No, the Bible doesn't say, "Well done, thou good and faithful king, thou good and faithful president, thou good and faithful athlete, thou good." No, "thou good and faithful servant." It's all about service. And by the way, when we're serving others, we're doing it the right way. We're serving the Lord by serving others in Jesus' name. That's what it comes down to. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, is David was at battle. And he had some of his mighty men with him. And these men who were misfits and loved David, who would one day become their king, but now he was just their leader. He was the captain of this little army of misfits. And they heard him mention about how he would love to have a glass of water from the well of Bethlehem. And there was a midst of a battle going on, and they were battling. And those men ran right down the middle of the battle, all that was going on, just to get that cool water for their king, for their captain, for their servant. And then made their way back. And David, though feeling so honored, felt so bad. How in the world could I drink this water? In the sense of what took place, we as Americans would look at it as a waste. But in their culture and in that situation, he chose instead to pour the water out because he was not worthy to partake of it, of the sacrifices these men made in honoring him. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but I'm happy to carry water for the Lord Jesus any day of the week. And however he sees fit to use me, let's just make a decision that knowing and remind ourselves the best way that we'll ever be in a place of honor, not that I want to look for it, but I need to start at the bottom, and I need to realize no matter what the Lord does and how he does it, I'm just going to serve, and I'm going to do all I can, because who knows? One day we could also very well be serving someone and not realizing that we're entertaining angels. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and the blessing and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the privilege of being here as Pastor Michelle and I, Lord, here at Harvest Baptist Church. We love our church family. And Lord, we pray your continued blessings upon them. And Lord, help us as we continue to serve together in reaching our community for the cause of Christ. Help us always be ready, willing, and prepared to help, to encourage, and to serve in the name of Jesus. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, it's 6:55. I guess we're going to make our way over to the fellowship hall.